Good morning, everyone, and today, based upon what I believe to be the seriousness of the day that we're living, we need to know, we need to understand the voice of God and what God is saying. We need to know what God is saying. And based upon this stirring in my heart today, I want to share with you some things and lift out many of these things and share with you what Oswald Chambers said on June the 5th. How many of you read a daily devotional by Oswald Chambers? And if you haven't, you might want to consider sometimes getting a copy of his My Utmost for His Highest. But on June the 5th, and I'm going to put it up here for you on the overhead, I want you to see everything that was said on June the 5th. I've got it underlined. I've got it highlighted. I visit it every year. And I said, didn't I see this somewhere before? But it's just like sometimes reading the scriptures, you can go back and get more out of even a daily devotional. Because perhaps you have grown, perhaps you have matured in ways to understand things you couldn't understand before. It's like vision. We get a greater clarity of vision, June, as we walk with Jesus. We can see things we didn't see before. And one thing I have said in getting ready to be set up on the website, I was asked if I would share a phrase, something meaningful to me, to be put on the website as something that was meaningful to me as a pastor and getting ready to put something on the internet. And what I put on there was, and I think I've shared this with you before, was heartburn is good, especially when Jesus is doing the burning. So I want God's say-so to be a burning within me. I want it to be a meaningful impression in my heart that I may receive it and live my life 24/7 to have that, quote, heartburn in my heart, the way they did, the two disciples did when Jesus resurrected. They were on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to them. They were talking about Jesus. It's been 72 hours or 3 days. And Jesus did not allow them to know who he was, but he listened to them. And then he began to expound upon the scriptures about himself. After that was all done and said, and Jesus left them, he vanished. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us along the way? And I don't know about you, but my heart burns to know. My heart burns to have revelation of Jesus. I want the scriptures not just to be scriptures, but to be lifted into my heart. I want meaning there. And June, I hear your cry there. You want to know. You want to be able to say and to share Jesus with others with a passion. And so may you have that heartburn that Jesus disclosed to them as they walked along the way to Emmaus on that road there. And may you have that heartburn in your life. But let's get on with this, and I want to share with you, and if anyone is listening to this, and you have a Oswald Chambers daily devotional, you can read it for yourself as well, but it's called God Say So, and it was on June the 5th, just recently, that I looked at this. And I want to share it with us here today, and we'll share some scriptures that are related to this. But first of all, God's say-so is so powerful to know within us, to understand it. And this is all based upon Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. So let me read Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 to know where we're going with this God's say-so. It'll make sense. Okay? I'm going to read it, then we're going to comment on it. Let your character, Hebrews 5, 13, 5 and 6, verse 5, let your character be free from a love of money being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you or desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that, based upon what Jesus said, we can confidently say, or the King James Version says, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. Okay, so there is a boldness. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not be haunted by apprehension. Now, these are two powerful words. Our say-so is to be based upon God's say-so. God says, I will never leave you. Then you can know that God will never leave you. You can say, God will never leave me. I'm confused right now. I'm crying right now. I'm hurt right now. I don't like what they said to me. I just got fired. My car needs tires. You know, I don't have enough money for the electricity. I don't know where we're going to eat our next meal. I don't know what's going on. But you can say in your life, because God has said, I will never leave you, you can say, I know God is not going to leave me. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. It's easy to say. That's another thing to do it, isn't it? It's easy to say, I will not fear, because God said He'll never leave me. And I'm going to boldly say, I will not fear, and yet your knees are just shaking. Your heart is trembling. But God has said, I'm not going to leave you, but you're shaking. But if you say it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, you will come around to be able to stand with a confidence that you cannot conjure up yourself. The confidence will be from the Lord. I will give you another helper, Jesus said, the Spirit. His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ within you, the Spirit of God, will help you raise up a standard to overcome any and all things. I will not be, this is good, haunted or I will not be haunted by apprehension. And look in your handouts today. Haunted means what? Basically, we all seen that word many times. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to be haunted? I will not be haunted by apprehension.
Harassed.
That's a good one. We got that word in harassed. And you will not be harassed. What? Walking in fear, anticipating, doubt, fear, unbelief. It's a haunting. It can be perpetual. To haunt means to come to mind continuously, to pursue relentlessly.
Condemnation.
Huh?
Condemnation.
You can be. You can be haunted by condemnation. Doubting God's forgiveness. Doubting God's cleansing. God takes our sins and He casts them what? As far as the east is from the west. He casts them to the sea. We just had that song this morning. He forgets them. Who remembers them? Not Him. We do. Okay? Apprehension. That's another good word. What's it mean to experience apprehension? It goes back to Naomi already said it. Fearful. To have...
Huh? Holds us back.
It does hold us back. Apprehension.
Incapacitated.
That's a good one. It takes you out. In warfare, you don't necessarily have to kill someone, but you debilitate them where they're not able to continue in the warfare. Whether serious wounding or whatever, it takes them out. You still achieve the same objective. You take that weapon out of the field. Apprehension means to be fearful or have uneasy anticipation of the future. Here's a powerful word. Also means to dread. So, to me, that does not sound like when God says, I will never leave you, it doesn't sound like you're believing Him if you're dreading something, if you have apprehension, if you're being haunted by something. It seems like we're not really believing God. What He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. No matter, Mary, what the situation is, no matter what comes up in your life. It's so easy to say it, so easy to read it, so easy to quote it. It's another thing to be able to say, because God has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. It's another thing for us to say, I will not fear because God is going to be there for me.
Right.
Yea, though I what?
Walk
walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Easy to say. Didn't we have that reading in the last week or week before? Here, before the people, I believe Naomi read that. Easy to say it. This does not mean, church and all believers, okay? This does not mean that I will not be tempted to fear. But I will remember God's say-so. It is easy to remember God's say-so. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's God's say-so. It's not hard to remember that. It's another thing to drink that, to receive that, and to obey that. But if you will cry out to the Lord, Lord, I am fearful right now. I'm being haunted by apprehension. Lord, I'm being hounded with thoughts. I don't like this. I don't want to be here. It's not a pleasant place for me to be. I want to trust you. You said you're not going to leave me, but Lord, I'm the one that's leaving you right now with these thoughts. I'm not being victorious. I'm a mess. But I want to be strong in you. See, pray that to the Lord. When you are weak, let the weak say, I'm strong. When you are poor, let the poor say, I am rich. Say it with your mouth.
Yes, that's right.
Say it, June. You're saying it. Lord, I want to have a boldness to share Jesus with people. But Lord, I don't have what they have. But I want it. And so now in a conversation at work, you, with a boldness within you, are saying amen to a conversation. And you know where you're coming from. They may not know, but God knows where you're coming from. And you know where you're coming from. But you're not going to be haunted by apprehension and doubt and weakness and timidity. And I guess I just got to back off here. I can't speak boldly for Jesus.
And they don't want you to do too much of that at work.
We don't get too excited. There's where wisdom comes in, though. Get wisdom. With all your wisdom, get what? Understanding. We need them both. We need the whole package. Remember God's say-so. I will be full of courage, like a child bucking himself up to reach the standard his father wants. That's a good thing to do. Especially today is Father's Day. We need to have fathers wanting their children to buck up to a standard. And hopefully the father is living a life that is a godly example to the child. Speaking of Father's Day. And so, faith in many a one falters when the apprehensions come. And they're going to come like hundreds of arrows at time. And you're going to think, your husband's against you. You're going to think your wife's against you. You're going to think the children's against you. You're going to think your employer's against you. You're going to think the attendant at the 7-Eleven is against you. You're going to think everything's against you because it just snowballs. Okay? Faith in many one falters when apprehensions come. They forget the meaning of God's say-so. Forget to take a deep breath spiritually. And the only way to get the dread taken out of us is to listen to God's say-so. Eddie, you can talk to me all day long. I can hear the words impinging on my ear, but I'm not really... I hear the words, but I'm not listening to you.
Yeah.
Isn't there a difference? You ever been in a classroom at school? And the teacher looks directly at you, and you're daydreaming. You might be thinking about, little Sally Sue, or Billy Joe, or somebody, or whatever, or your mind is out there getting ready to go to swim class, or your mind is not there for sure, and the teacher looks right at you and says, isn't that right, Mark? Or what do you think, Mark? My own wife has looked at me and said, is that right? What do you think? I'm going, oh, God, bail me out of this one. Oh, what did she just say? Maybe I can guess what she just said and I can think about it. Oh, yeah, honey, that'd be all right. She says, honey, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't hear what I said. You're trying to bail yourself out. I said, yeah, you're right. I don't know if I'm the only one that's ever done that, but Shirley's looked straight at me. She's been talking for a while, but my mind has been visiting something else. My mind has been out there. And she looks right at me and says, what do you think?
Can you repeat that?
There's a lot of people in church. Yeah, I could not repeat. I could not repeat what she's asked me to repeat. There's a lot of people in church. They're in church, but the sound is just impinging off the eardrum. They're not listening. They're not taking it to heart. They need to, and you need to know what God is saying. His say-so is very life and death, very important for us. And we need to let His say-so be our say-so. There's where the confidence comes in. The only way to get the dread taken out of us is to listen to God's say-so. What are you dreading? You're not a coward about it. You're going to face it, but there is a feeling of dread. When there is nothing and no one to help you, say, "But the Lord is my helper," the second in my present outlook. One time in Ohio many years ago, me and my buddies were throwing corn cobs in the playground. You're not supposed to throw anything. There are rules. You don't throw rocks. You don't throw corn cobs. And we were trying to hit each other. And I never got called to the office, but I got called to the office that day. And don't you know, as a 10 or 11 year old, I dreaded facing that situation, and I wasn't facing it with my Lord then. You know, I was where I was, good old American little kid running around, but didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to trust Him. Oh God, I'm going to the principal, and this guy's got a paddle with holes in him to make the paddle go faster and swifter and really whack you good. And oh God, what's my dad going to say? And oh man, I've never been in trouble before. Now everybody's going to think, man, Mark's out there throwing corn cobs, getting in trouble, and he's in the office. And I never went to the office before. I was always wanting to be respectful and all that kind of stuff. And so here I'm going, but I dreaded facing perhaps the consequences. It was a horrible feeling. And I want children today, in your young ages, I want children in their 8s and 9s and 7 and 6 and 5-year-olds, I want them to have that, at least that relationship with the Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, that when they come up and they don't understand things, their hearts are just broken, in order to be able to pray with their parents and go through these things looking to Jesus. But I was just kind of had to face the situation myself. It was dreadful for me. It was very, very dreadful. We got up there, and they said, the principal said, "Why did you do that?" What do you think I said? "Why did you do that?" And they were speaking very sternly. Our school teacher here today, Mary, is telling us and showing us exactly what I did. You get the shoulders, and you go like this. "I don't know." But you know what? I got to think about that. You know why I said, "I don't know"? I didn't really know. I was just having fun. But I didn't know how to articulate that to them, saying, "Look, I was just having fun. I thought it'd be kind of cool to pick up a corn cob and hit those guys." You know, I was just fearful, man. Because back then, there was a lot more respect in relationships of, you know, parents and principals and teachers and students anyhow. That was while the earth was still cooling. I dreaded that. Have you had an experience recently where you dreaded to face something, and after you face it, like I faced my situation, it wasn't so bad after all. They sternly warned me, "Don't do that again." I didn't get a licking, and I was just wagging away, man, like a dog wagging his tail, leaving that place. I'd never do that again. You know, I learned a good lesson, but it wasn't life and it wasn't death for me. I survived it.
Yeah.
So how many of you, this is not good to be living a life where you dread something.
That's right.
It's not good. Now, recently we had a lady visit with us, Linda Godwin, who her entire house and all the belongings in the house, everything was destroyed by fire. If it wasn't destroyed by fire, it was destroyed by smoke damage. If it wasn't destroyed by fire and smoke, it was destroyed by water damage from the fire department. And all those things were all destroyed. Her computer was melted. Do you believe that if everything that you had or a file on your computer, you didn't have it backed up or anything, and all your clothes and any little special thing you have, whatever's important to you, it all burned up or got smoke damage or got water damage, do you believe that would be, in a moment of time, without looking to the Lord in a moment, would that be kind of dreadful for you? How am I ever going to get regrouped or come back from such a calamitous situation? Everything's destroyed. Everything's gone. These people with the tornadoes recently, Not only many lies were dead, but everything, the slab is there, the foundation, everything is gone. Many people in Arizona right now, many fires are destroyed, burned their houses, all gone. So that could be dreadful. So sometimes we think we ought to be reprimanded by the Lord. Just really get a revelation, because sometimes we think it's a dreadful thing, and you've seen people react to petty things like, I just cleaned my hairbrush. Why are you using my hairbrush? You got your hair and my hairbrush. You know? I mean, just crazy, silly things. And we get so upset over the silliest things. And that ought not to be. What are you dreading? You are not a coward about it. You're going to face it, but there's a feeling of dread. When there is nothing and no one to help you say, but the Lord is my helper this second in my present outlook, are you learning to say things after listening to God, or are you saying things and trying to make God's word fit in? See, he's not going to fit in to you. You got to fit in to him. See, so you can go about your life making God's, or trying to make God's word fit in to where it works for you. But you got to make yourself available for God's word to be fitting in into your life, not him fitting into yours.
Yeah.
It's, you know, have you been there? Very powerful. Like I say in my Oswald, I got this all yellowed and underlined, and very, very powerful principles for daily living. See, no one's around to tell you or remind you about the Lord. The attitude you should have. Do you have the attitude without anybody telling you? Do you have the Holy Spirit within you, teaching you, admonishing you, and directing you in a situation, any given situation? You may have been there this past week. Are you learning to say things after listening to God, or are you saying things and trying to make God's word fit in? Get a hold of the Father's say-so, and then say with good courage, I will not fear. It does not matter what evil or wrong may be in the way. He has said, I will never leave you.
That's right.
I will never, ever leave you. Just to know that. If you knew only one scripture out of all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and you knew that when you had it hidden in your heart, and you knew that God was never going to leave you, never going to forsake you, no matter what, would that not be enough for you to live this life victoriously? If that's all you knew. If that's all you know. I know that God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. That's all I know. I have that hidden in my heart. That's enough for you to live victoriously in your daily walk with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13 will be real to you, because there's the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. And doesn't even take into account a wrong suffered. Think about that definition of love and apply it to your daily life. If that's all you know, you can live victoriously. Because whenever anything, no matter what anyone says or anything is done to you, you won't take into account a wrong suffered. It's not going to be put in the books, in your brain, in your heart. It's not going to be there. You will know it was wrong. See, don't misunderstand. You will know somebody did you wrong. Jesus knew they were doing him wrong. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you can know wrong is coming at you. You can remember it. But you don't have to harbor it in your heart to where you're bitter toward those who did you wrong. Frailty is another thing that gets in between God's say-so and ours. Frailty. When we realize how feeble we are in facing difficulties, the difficulties become like giants. We become like grasshoppers. And God becomes a non-entity. Remember, God says so. I will, keynote, in no wise fail you. I will no wise fail you. Have we learned to sing after hearing God's keynote? Are we always possessed with the courage to say, the Lord is my helper? A lot of people are not living according to God's say-so. They're trying to make the Lord fit in to their lifestyle or their worldview or their philosophy, and they're not following a life saying what God has said. Perhaps because of the consequences, you may be ostracized for it. People may put you down for your commitment and for your testimony of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Jesus said, they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In this world, as believers, you will suffer tribulation. You will go through tribulation. You will feel the powers of darkness against you as a Christian, because you are a child no longer of darkness, but of light. God's say-so in the world that we're living in today is becoming less feared as the years go by.
Yeah.
People are becoming very, very bold against accusations against the living God. They're very bold. And just recently, I do get the paper delivered. I do look at it. And I read some of the things that are in it, because it's, once again, a pulse that's going on in the world.
That's right.
The world's say-so is not to be my say-so as a child of God.
Yeah.
This paper has a lot to say about what we should and shouldn't do, how we should and shouldn't feel. The paper, the media in any way, the movies, or the TVs, or your magazines, and any other form of media, the internet, these tools are not to be used to influence you to do necessarily what they say, unless what they are saying is what God says. This is groundbreaking. What I'm just going to share with you, I'm not going to elaborate on it. This is groundbreaking. The UN breaks ground backing gay rights. I understand I'm saying this, and this is on the internet. I don't know who is listening to this or what you may think about what God thinks about a man with a man or a woman with a woman. The scriptures are very clear that this lifestyle is an abomination to the Lord. This is not my opinion, but I agree with God's opinion, because that's what it is. I'm in agreement to that. So this is very, very powerful, because the UN, the United Nations, not all nations, there are some African nations and some Muslim nations who are not for this. China abstained, some other countries abstained from voting, but for the most part, there has been a vote to back the gay rights movement. The reasoning is because of the bashing they have received, and no scripture in the Bible that I have, the living God, teaches any Christian whatsoever to go out and to harm or to cause harm to anyone living another lifestyle whatsoever. There is nothing but compassion and love extended to these people, hoping that perhaps their eyes would be open and that they would be able to see the error of their ways. That's simply all we're saying. But there's no mandate, there's no instruction to go out and to give people, or to speak verbally derogatory things toward them, or to be crass-like toward these people, but to do nothing but extend love toward these people, because Jesus, our dearly beloved Savior, died for all mankind. And because to live a lifestyle like it is no worse than someone saying in your heart that you hate somebody, or murder in your heart, with those words, those malicious words of hatred towards someone. There's no difference. And so, but it is profound that the UN now is backing this, because now we're getting into a world situation where young people growing up says, well, you know, people are saying God says this, but the our world says this, so I'm going to go along with the worldview. Very, very serious. If you would turn with me to amplify a little bit more here about God's say-so, turn to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Just want to make a couple of points here in Deuteronomy. Very, very powerful. Deuteronomy, and turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy was written by Moses. He's now 120 years old. He's giving messages to the new generation that is going into the promised land. And all the experiences that Moses had, all the miracles that he saw, all the deliverances of God that he saw, and also the judgment of God that came against Egypt and all the rebellion. He saw it all. And now he's writing to the new generation that's going into the promised land. Moses is very concerned for them to live a life based upon God's say-so. If you will do this, you're going to be blessed. If you don't, you're going to be in serious, grave trouble. Today, right now, I want to say to us and to say to this world, the world is not wanting to hear a mandate that it is either right or wrong. The world wants to hear something of a message that says, well, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. How do you know? No one is to judge another. But God says there is a light, there is darkness, there's a right, and there's a wrong. There's a right, there's a left. There's dry, and then there's watered. You know, there is right, and there is wrong. And so here he is, Moses, giving a discourse to the new generation that's going into the promised land, and he wants them to be very mindful of something. This is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting with verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, watch with me. And if you have your Bibles, I believe you're going to see the word blessed or blessing. If you will say blessing when it pops up in your Bible when I read it, let's say it together. Okay? I'm going to start with verse 1. We don't have a word, the word blessed or blessing in verse 1, but we will from there on. You're going to see eight of them. In verse 1, these are the promised blessings for obedience. These are the promised blessings for those who do and obey God's say-so. Now, it shall be if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. If you're obedient, God's going to set you above, not below the nations or below their philosophies or their worldviews. You're going to be above those worldviews. You're going to be above worldviews like what the United Nations has just voted on. We're going to be above these views, not below them. All right, in verse 2, get ready now in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Isn't it cool what the Lord is saying here? The blessings are going to overtake you for obedience. Yeah. Here you're walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden these blessings are after you.
Yeah.
You're walking with the Lord, June. You're wanting to do and represent the Lord. You're no longer haunted. You no longer have apprehension. But the Lord wants to catch up with you and give you these blessings.
Right.
He wants to lavish upon you. Can you believe that? The Bible is saying blessings will overtake you if you're obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
So if I say, hey, Michelle, how'd it go today? She says, you know what? I've been overcome with blessings. I've been overtaken
yeah.
with blessings today. I've asked people before, I say, how you doing? And they respond, they say, I'm blessed. Because they really mean it, I'm blessed. They don't say, I'm okay, you know, but they say, I'm blessed. Can you believe what verse 2 just said? And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. If your say-sos are His say-sos, what Oswald is saying up here, God is going to catch up to you and overtake you with blessings. Wow! To me, that's a half-full glass, not half-empty. I know you got a collar around your neck right now because of your auto accident, Cindy. You got a collar around you, but God wants to bless you. Bless you. Sustain you. If you're obedient to Him. Verse 3, wow, right off the bat, what do you got?
Blessed
shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Verse 4, blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and young, and the young of your flock. Verse 5, what? Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and what? Blessed shall you be when you go out. Wow. And verse 8, or verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. Your enemies, Mary, yes, the adversary, they're going to flee.
That's right.
If you obey the Lord. In verse 8, the Lord will command the blessings upon you in your barns and all that you put your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. It is conditional. If all these blessings, and I just named several of them right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings. There shall be showers of blessings.
Yes.
Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round as are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Yes.
Wow. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and that you are called by the name of the Lord, and that they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in the season, and bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. In verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Wow! Moses, 120 years old, seeing God's miracles, God's hand, God's fire, God's destruction, all the plagues of Egypt, and all the things that God and the manna in the wilderness, the water coming out of the rock, crossing the Red Sea. He saw all these things, and he went and say, by the way, it would behoove you, the generation that's going into the promised land is going to face adversaries, and you got a life to live there, and you're going to have to overcome the enemies, to obey the Lord. Let God's say-so be yours, and you're going to be blessed, 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 blessed. Can we deny? Can we say that's not true, Lord? I don't believe it. Well, you can. If you want, you can cut the blessings off. But God wants to chase after us with blessings. I love that. We got two sisters here. I know we don't have a video, but I got two sisters here that are sharing the same sweater to keep a little bit warmer because we got the air a little bit cooler in here today. Some are comfortable, some are not. But it's so cool to see that because these two sisters are also twins. So it's Naomi and Nicole. They're seated next to each other, and they have a sweater, sharing the same sweater around both of them. That is so awesome. To me, it reminds me, though, of a walk in the Lord, that there's always a desire for someone else to receive comfort. Don't worry about me. You're always thinking about somebody else. Now, Michelle's not with them. She's their other sister, a little bit younger. She's got her own sweater on her, so she's been taken care of. The Lord, Michelle, is going to take care of us. It's all right. There's no room in that little sweater, but you got something for yourself. God's going to take care of us. Allow the Lord's say-so to be your say-so. God has blessings for you. Now, we're not going to get into it today, but He follows this with strong, strong, strong admonition. If you disobey, what is the opposite of blessings?
Curse.
You had. Now, people may not want to hear that word. I believe most people in the world that don't want to walk with Jesus Christ as their Lord, they don't want to hear that, that there's going to be life and death, a blessing and a curse. Eternal life, eternal death. People don't want to hear that. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Today, that I may have the opportunity to change. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the consequences of that. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
In Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yes.
Whomsoever may be hearing this message today, wherever you may be on this earth, Jesus loves you. He wants you for Himself. He does not want to share you with this world or the world's ideology or the world's philosophy or the world's ways. He wants to share you totally and completely for Himself.
Yes.
In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
There will be a perishing. There will be a separation of the wheat from the tares. There will be a separation of the wheat from the chaff. And Jesus will gather His children unto Himself, and we will forever be with the Lord. Those who are not His, that have not been cleansed, have not been forgiven, that have not been cleansed in the blood of Jesus, will be separated. And they will be destined to a life of hell forever. There will not be another Jesus. There will not be another crucifixion to start this all over again. Like, I didn't get it straight, God, give me another opportunity. Today, Hebrews says, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And today, in going over God's say-so, there are times that we as Christians, we kind of get a little callous with the Lord, and we kind of say, yeah, God, I know about that. We learned about that today, and we're reminded about Your say-so today, so I'm going to let Your say-so be my say-so today. And I know this afternoon already, Lord, I may face something, but I hope that You will forgive me because I'm already planning for You to take a vacation. I'm going to do something because I already got something on my mind I want to say to somebody. See, that's not good. Somebody, you want to say something to somebody, it's not proper. So don't even have this propensity. Don't even have this thing within you that you're going to do something. You know it's not right, but you're going to do it. No, don't do that, because don't get callous toward the Lord. Humble it down and say, Lord, I was going to do that. I was thinking about that, but Lord, because of your say-so, I'm going to let it be my say-so. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. Wherever you are today, whomsoever may be hearing this message, I pray that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will make a point of doing that, inviting Him into your life, asking Jesus to change you and give you of His Holy Spirit to live this life based upon God's say-so and not the world's. Do not hesitate. You do not know if your life will be required of you this very day. May God bless you and keep you. And I pray that there'll be a change in your life. If you are a Christian, you believe and you love the Lord with all your heart, but you've been having difficult times of just getting things turned around. If you will take to heart and remember what the Lord has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. If you take that to your heart and you live that, and you begin to believe that, your life will change. Yes, as a Christian, you're being kind of slow about it, but now there's a desire in your heart. There's an urgency to do it God's way. God bless you. Let me...